Hello, I'm Govinda Gill with the BBC News. The head of the International Committee of the Red Cross has condemned Israel's plans to force the population of Gaza City to leave. Mirjana Shpolyarich said such a move would trigger a massive population movement that no area in Gaza could absorb. Here's Mike Thompson.
Mirjana Shpolyarich insisted there are many reasons why Israel's Gaza evacuation plans are both, in her words, unfeasible and incomprehensible. She said many people would be unable to leave because they're starving, sick or badly injured. The Red Cross's president added that no area of Gaza could in any case cope with such an exodus due to the widespread destruction of civilian infrastructure and extreme shortages of food, water, shelter and medical care. Israel's says the evacuation is necessary in order to limit human casualties while its forces try to rescue hostages and defeat Hamas.
The head of Yemen's Houthi movement has confirmed that Israeli strikes on the capital Sana'a earlier this week killed the group's prime minister and senior colleagues. Ahmed Ghalib Nasser al-Rawahi had held his post since August last year. The Iran-backed movement had earlier denied the reports. The IDF is reported to have told the Israeli media that it believes the Houthis' entire cabinet of 12 ministers, in addition to the PM, may have died in Thursday's strikes. A prominent Ukrainian MP, Andriy Paraby, has been shot dead in the western city of Lviv. President Volodymyr Zelensky called it a horrific murder. Katie Watson is in Kyiv.
Andriy Paraby was a former speaker of the Ukrainian parliament, a prominent leader in the Euromaidan movement, which advocated for closer European Union ties and eventually brought down the pro-Russian President Yanukovych in 2014. And what we know is around midday, there was a gunman who was dressed as a courier and assassinated Andriy Paraby. And that's all we know in terms of exactly what happened. But President Zelensky has condemned the attack and said they assert for the killer.
Researchers say Sudan's paramilitary rapid support forces are building extensive earthen barriers around El Fasher, the army's last remaining stronghold in Darfur. Joe Inwood reports.
The earthen barriers snake through destroyed villages and all but encircle the besieged city of El Fasher. The paramilitary rapid support forces, who have been engaged in a brutal civil war against the Sudanese National Army, have been repeatedly accused of carrying out atrocities against civilians from non-Arab backgrounds. Humanitarian organisations have been unable to access Al-Fasher for months, with remaining civilians enduring constant bombardment, food scarcity and difficulties in accessing medical care.
World News from the BBC. The Health Service in Britain is rolling out a new type of stethoscope that could help medics detect different heart conditions in a matter of seconds. The AI-powered device analyses differences in heartbeats and blood flow that human ears cannot detect. Michael Daventry reports.
It's the symbol of healthcare professionals everywhere, reassuring countless patients with the mere sight of one around a medic's neck. Now, the stethoscope is having perhaps its greatest upgrade since it was invented in France more than two centuries ago. The new AI device has a chest piece that records electrical signals and the sound of blood flowing through the heart. Information it quickly compares to tens of thousands of other tests. It picked up more cases of heart failure, heart valve disease, and irregular heartbeat than its conventional predecessor.
Reports from northwest Nigeria say at least 13 people have died and more than 20 are missing after an overcrowded boat sank as they fled violence. Residents in Zamfara State said locals boarded the riverboat to escape gunmen who had attacked two communities. Zamfara has become an epicentre of violence by armed gangs. Floods and landslides have killed 11 people in Indian-administered Kashmir, bringing it more than 50, the number, who've died there this week in the monsoon rains sweeping the region. They include seven members of one family near the territory's winter capital, Jammu. On Wednesday, about 40 people were reported killed in a landslide. Australia's announced that it will send hundreds of immigrants who've been refused the right to remain to the tiny Pacific island nation of Nauru. The government is reportedly paying Nauru nearly $300 million and tens of millions more each year afterwards. Those being deported have no legal right to stay in Australia. BBC News.